Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 21 through 31. Now in the second half of the chapter, we have the record of the reign of King Rehoboam of Judah, including the attack on Judah by Pharaoh Shishak of Egypt. 1 Kings chapter 14, beginning at verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. Let's begin our study of this portion of God's Word with some background notes. We've already read about King Rehoboam back in 1 Kings chapter 12. He was the son of Solomon, and he followed the wrong counsel and decided that he was going to tax the people more heavily than his father Solomon had taxed the people. Remember what Rehoboam said, "My little finger is thicker than my father's waist." As a result of this policy, the United Kingdom of Israel divided into the Northern Kingdom of Israel and the Southern Kingdom of Judah. Now, we've followed the reign of wicked King Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, from the second half of chapter 12 through the first half of chapter 14. Now, here in the last section of chapter 14, we have the record of Rehoboam's reign, the first king of the southern kingdom of Judah. It is not a good record. Verse 22, "Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all that their fathers had done." King Rehoboam allowed idolatrous and cultic shrines to be built throughout the land. Verse 23, "Where they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree." Associated with this idolatry were perverted sexual practices. Verse 24, "And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." Departure from the Lord and His Word always leads to moral decline. In verse 25, we see that God allowed Pharaoh Shishak of Egypt to attack Jerusalem. Why? 2 Chronicles 12, verse 2 gives us the answer. "And it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord." 2 Chronicles 12, verse 2. We learn from 2 Chronicles chapter 12 that Shishak conquered the fortified cities of Judah. But because there was a temporary humbling on the part of Rehoboam and his officials, the Lord did not let Shishak take Jerusalem. Shishak did take the temple treasures, however, including the shields of gold that Solomon had made. The record of Shishak's conquests in Judah, by the way, are also recorded on one of the walls of an Egyptian temple at ancient Karnak along the Upper Nile. Now, one more background note. We read in verse 30, "And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days." Now, this is not a contradiction to 1 Kings chapter 12, which said that when Rehoboam became king, he was about to go to war with King Jeroboam with 180,000 troops, but God stopped him. Now, this is not a contradiction here. Verse 30 here would refer to the constant border clashes between the two kingdoms. And then just one further background note. We read in verse 29 that now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? The book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah would be what we now have in our English Bibles as 1st and 2nd Chronicles. In the Hebrew Bible, of course, it's not 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it's just Chronicles. Well, more we could give for background, but let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this portion of 1 Kings chapter 14. Doctrinal point number one, mothers have a great effect on one's character. Mothers have a great effect on one's character. The name of Rehoboam's mother and where she came from is mentioned twice in this passage. Verse 21, his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And verse 31, his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. This is significant because mothers have a great effect on one's character. Back in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1, we read that King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. And then in 1 Kings 11 verses 4 and 5, we read, for it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So we see that Naamah, the Ammonitess, Rehoboam's mother, was one of Solomon's wives, and it was because of her that Solomon went after the god Milcom, or Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites. 1 Kings 11, verse 7. Then Solomon built a high place for Molech, the abomination of the peoples of Ammon. Human sacrifice was involved in the worship of Molech, the god of the Ammonites. Now, we don't read of any child sacrifice during the reigns of Solomon or Rehoboam, but eventually, child sacrifice was practiced in the kingdom of Judah. Well, with a mother like Naamah, Rehoboam's character was bound to be affected. Listen to the way Rehoboam's character is linked to his mother in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Mothers can prepare the hearts of their children to seek the Lord or not seek the Lord. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15? And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. How did Timothy learn the Scriptures when he was a child? Answer, his mother and his grandmother. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. 2 Timothy 1:5. You know, I can identify with this verse for two reasons. One, my mother's name is Eunice. And two, my mother taught me the Bible and biblical values and biblical principles when I was a child. For this, I am forever grateful. Now, I know a number of you here have had godly mothers who molded your character for the Lord. Mothers have a great effect on one's character. Doctrinal point number two, obedience has a great effect on one's protection. Obedience has a great effect on one's protection. Notice the sequence of events as I read 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. And it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. 2 Chronicles 12, verses 1 and 2. Do you see the sequence here? When did Rehoboam lose protection and become vulnerable to attack? Answer, when he forsook the Lord and transgressed against the Lord. That's when Rehoboam and his kingdom of Judah were invaded by Shishak of Egypt. Only because of the mercy of God was Judah spared at that time. Now, do you see the spiritual picture that we have here? When people turn away from the Lord and disobey his word, they are wide open to attacks from the world and Satan. Certainly in Shishak, Pharaoh of Egypt, we have a spiritual picture here of Satan, the prince of this world, an enemy of our souls. Remember, Egypt in Scripture very often pictures the world. Do you want to be protected from Satan? What is the key to protection? Answer, walking with the Lord in obedience to his word. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not continue to practice sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. 1 John 5:18. As we walk with the Lord and obey his word and put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, and stop practicing sin, we are protected from Satan. Attacks will come, but we will not be defeated as Rehoboam was defeated, and we will not be robbed of blessing as Rehoboam was robbed of blessing. Obedience has a great effect on one's protection. Practical application from this last section of 1 Kings 14. Go where the Lord has chosen to put his name. Go where the Lord has chosen to put his name. Notice what we read in verse 21 about Jerusalem. It was the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. God chose Jerusalem as his holy city, a city that was set apart because that was where the temple was. This was the house of the Lord, where God's presence was centered in the midst of his people. Godly Jews went up to Jerusalem and the temple at least three times a year in accordance with God's law, Deuteronomy 16, 16. Today, God dwells in the midst of his people in a spiritual temple, namely the church. The church is not some building or denomination. No, the church is the people of God. This is where God has chosen to put his name. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus is in our midst right now because we are gathered in his name. Hebrews 10, 25 exhorts believers not to forsake the assembling of themselves together in fellowship. Go where the Lord has chosen to put his name.